Welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Each day we'll look at a text from the weekly readings from the Westgate Church Bulletin. We will look at background material and also application of the text. So once again, welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast.
Hi there. Today is September 23rd. This is the Illuminated Word Podcast, and I am David McLean. We are finally in fall. I realize that that's just technically dates, and probably next week we'll be back in 100-degree weather. But today, man, it feels so good outside. The weather's beautiful. It's nice, cool, and crisp. And I don't know about you, but when fall comes and we finally push summer back, man, I'm just in a better mood. I'm just happier because I do not like the heat. Of course, again, I know it'll be back the next day, but I hope that you are having a blessed day as you are listening to this. Our reading today is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 28. Paul says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? See, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is without foundation, and so is your faith. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. And if we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, then we should be pitied more than anyone. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam will die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, at his coming, those who belong to Christ. And then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be abolished is death. For God has put everything under his feet. But when it says everything is put under him, it is obvious that he who puts everything under him is the exception. And when everything is subject to Christ, then the Son himself will also be subject to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all." The Sunday in the sermon, we're going to be looking at Lazarus and the resurrection of Lazarus and how that resurrection changed lives as they watched what happened. And of course, we know that Christ was resurrected and how that resurrection changes our lives. Last night in our class, we talked about, can Jesus be true for you but not for me? And we looked at different religions and different religious beliefs and hopefully encourage them to see that what they hear around them is not accuracy. What we hear around us is it's not okay to tell people they are wrong. It's not okay to say other religions are wrong. It's acceptable to say that all religions are right and all religions are a way to a God. And we looked at the teachings that different religions like Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism have about Jesus, and how each one of them have some kind of truth to them, but yet each one of them contradicts the others. For instance, Islam teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he did do miraculous healings and perform different miracles and had teachings and followers. But it teaches that he didn't quite die. He sort of died, appeared to die. But then was brought into heaven. You would look at that and say, well, you know, we believe that Jesus was a virgin birth and did miracles and teachings and followers and ascended into heaven. But wait a second, we believe that he died and was resurrected. You see, the resurrection is central to the Christian faith. The resurrection is central to everything that we believe, and that's what Paul says in verse 17, that if Christ has not been raised, in other words, if there is no resurrection, your faith is futile, your faith is worthless, and you're still in your sins. And so everything that we teach and believe hangs on the resurrection being true. And so that's why Paul takes the time to address this with the Corinthians. And see, in that time, most Greeks didn't believe that people's bodies would be resurrected after death. They saw that the afterlife was only for the soul, that nothing happened to the body. According to Greek philosophers, the soul was the real person. It was kind of stuck in this physical body. But the soul is who you really were. That's the real person. And when you died, then your soul was released. And so they believed there was no resurrection of the physical body. There was no immortality for the physical body. But then you look at Christianity. Christianity teaches that the body and soul will be united after resurrection. And so the church at Corinth was, you know, in the middle of this Greek culture. They were at the heart of it. And when you start to understand that, you start to understand the struggle that these Corinthians had of everything they listened around them. They had a difficult time believing in a bodily resurrection because of what they heard everyone else around them saying. And so this part of Paul's letter is to kind of clear up the confusion about the resurrection, because again, the resurrection is central to the Christian faith. It was central to the preaching and teaching, even from the earliest days of the church. For example, in Acts 2:24, Peter on Pentecost proclaimed that God raised Jesus from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And so, you know, both Jewish and Roman authorities had had plenty of opportunity to reject this teaching by presenting an alternative to the Christian message of the resurrection. But they didn't. None of them had a convincing case. And so, again, a commonly held view in the ancient world of that time, and in the province of Achaia in particular, was this disbelief in the possibility of dead people rising back to life. And so Paul uses this mistaken view to show that it was incompatible with Christian belief. And so he says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. He starts calling his own integrity into question, saying, if there is no resurrection, then what I'm teaching is wrong, and that I'm wasting my time. So however eloquent the teaching, however vibrant the outworking of faith, the core of Christian belief in life is the resurrection of Jesus. The integrity of Paul and the apostles is at stake here. And Paul sees the presentation of the resurrection in legal terms when he talks about witnesses bearing testimony. And he gives this logical argument, or the extension of the logical argument, that if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And so if we place our trust in a Christ that has not been raised, that doesn't make any sense. Again, the resurrected Christ and the general resurrection of the dead are linked. And without the resurrection, as he says in verse 17, there is no forgiveness of sins. That would be the one that would smack the Corinthian Christians in the face. So yeah, we can debate the resurrection, but you do realize that without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sins, which is what they need, what we need, you know, most of all. Verse 18, he says, those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. So those who have abandoned the worship of pagan deities are now addressed. The logic, as flawed as it is that the gods that the Corinthian Christians have rejected in response to the good news of Jesus Christ would save them. See, Paul takes that argument and reduces it down to just absurdity so that the Corinthians can see with new eyes, or be reminded of, or see again the power of the gospel. The logical conclusion to the argument held by some of these Corinthian Christians means that the Christian faith has no place or relevance against the multiplicity of religious expression found in the colony. Remember, they had so many different religions to worship, so many different gods. Most of them were polytheists, not monotheists. And so this argument that the Corinthian Christians had about no resurrection means that Christianity had no place amongst the other religions. But Paul wants them to see the error in that argument, how detrimental this is. The Christian view of death is really in contrast to that held in the ancient world. The Christians perceived death as no more than sleep, whereas pagan society saw that it was important to protect the dead in the next life by sometimes placing these images that would ward off evil above their graves. And so in verse 20, he talks about the first fruits. Well, the first fruits was a concept similar to both Jews and Gentiles because they were often offered to the gods in the sanctuaries of the Greek world. And he talks about how sin came through one man, so life will come through one man. As in Adam, all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. This is obviously a callback to the beginning and alludes to the curse on Adam. In verse 24, he says that then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he's destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. This is what has been very disturbing when Paul wrote them to the Christians at Corinth, because the familiar authority structures they were accustomed to, the emperor, the Roman Senate, the provincial governor, the Roman army, the civic magistrates, they're all going to disappear. They're all going to be gone. And so these structures, which brought peace to the world in their lifetime, will be no more. You get to verse 25 and 26, 27, he talks about everything being put under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Roman emperors might look for new territory to acquire on the fringes of the existing empire. So for the Christian, the ultimate battle of victory is over death. The resurrection serves the same function as the triumphal arches at the city of Rome, which marked the final defeat of a foe. Verse 27, he has put everything under his feet. This is a direct quotation from Psalms 8:6. He ends his treatment here on the resurrection by calling them back to the Psalms, by calling them back to something they would be familiar with, that would give them encouragement and support, to remind them that this resurrection, this Christ has been prophesied. He has been talked about. Remember, you go to Psalm 8:6 where he quotes, he has put everything under his feet. It begins with, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Paul is calling their minds back to remember who God is, remember what he has done. What does this have to do with us? Do we struggle with the resurrection? Do we struggle with believing in it? And I would say probably the vast majority of us, no, we don't question it. We don't, we believe it, we accept it. But here's the problem. I think a lot of folks, and I have been guilty of this at times, a lot of people who are God-fearing, God-believing, Christ-following, people who sit in church, sometimes we live our lives as if the resurrection didn't happen. And if the resurrection didn't happen, there is no forgiveness of sins. If the resurrection didn't happen, there is no hope. If the resurrection didn't happen, there is no grace or mercy. If the resurrection didn't happen, we are stuck in our sins, in our guilt, in our shame. But the resurrection did happen. Unfortunately, when we live that as if the resurrection didn't happen, we're still stuck in that guilt, shame, sin cycle. But Jesus broke that when he was resurrected. And so we have to live. We can't just believe that the resurrection happened. We have to let that belief shape the way we live, change our lives day in and day out. Live in light of the resurrection. Yes, Jesus died and was buried, but that's not where it stopped. And unfortunately, a lot of times that's where we stop. Jesus was resurrected, which changes everything for us as Christians, for the world. So let us live in light of the resurrection. Hope this was encouraging to you in some way. Hope that you gained something from it, was encouraged by it. I don't know. Hope it was just a blessing in some way. And of course, I hope that you are looking for ways to be a blessing to others around you, to allow God to use you in just some incredible ways to touch people's lives, to speak into their lives, to show the love of Christ. And just, I don't know what that looks like for you, but my prayer is that you look for those opportunities each and every day. So until next time, have a blessed week.